You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Rick Franzi.
Welcome to this edition of Critical Mass Coast to Coast. I am your host, Rick Franzi, and I host this business talk show, which airs live on Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. If you're listening to this show as a podcast, possibly off of Apple iTunes or one of our other podcasting services, I urge you to consider listening to the show live during our broadcast time, heard here exclusively on octalkradio.net. The goal for this show is to help you, our listening audience, make better decisions. We do that by interviewing thought leaders and peer executives from around the country who have transferable knowledge, ideas, and experiences. I would like to thank Smart Business Magazine for sponsoring the show today. Smart Business Magazine is a management journal providing insight and advice for top decision makers. If you would like to learn more about Smart Business Magazine, visit their website, www.sbnonline.com. Critical Mass Coast to Coast is brought to you through a partnership of Critical Mass for Business with Executive Forums business owners in select markets across the United States. Executive Forums is an international organization committed to helping members take their business to the next level. My book, Critical Mass, The 10 Explosive Powers of CEO Peer Groups, was the first book ever written about the peer group experience, and it's available for sale on Amazon.com. If you'd like to learn more about the peer group experience, check out our website, www.executiveforums.com. If you'd like to join in the conversation today, then go to the community chat room, log on with your Twitter handle, post your thoughts. Our producer, Paul, will bring you the thoughts to me, and possibly I'll bring you onto the show. We're going to take a commercial break, and then we'll be back with our first guest here on Critical Mass Coast to Coast.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. By 3 with triple points on airfare, by 2 with double points on gas and groceries, and a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over a million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
Welcome back to this installment of Critical Mass Coast to Coast. I am your host, Rick Franzi. Jeff Lowry, who is president of Encore Creative, is my first guest. We're going to be talking about positioning for the market recovery, or is this the new normal? Jeff, welcome Mass Coast to Coast.
Hi, how are you?
I am well. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Although it's a little roasty here in the desert.
Okay. Yeah, I can imagine. Why don't we start the interview, Jeff, by me asking you to tell us a bit more about Encore Creative.
Well, it's the biggest challenge, I say, is to try to describe your business in a sentence or less, but Encore Creative is what we call a full-service event, special event production company. So lots of moving parts, but basically we provide all of the services that are necessary to stage a special event, from set design to entertainment to linens and florals, tables and chairs, anything that you can imagine that would go into a special event in a live scenario.
I've been to your website. I've seen some of the examples of the type of programs that you do, corporate and social events, etc. I also understand that the business is kind of an outgrowth of two sister companies. Can you talk for a minute about how that happened in 2006?
Basically we grew up as an entertainment-centric company. We booked and produced live entertainment events. In 2006, the requests were just ever increasing for more and more service from our customers. So, to effectively service them, especially in the corporate world, the requests were coming in for set design or staging, or if we were producing an entertainment event, you know, creating an environment that would be conducive for, you know, a group of, and we do a lot of incentive travel, a group of salespeople or a group of executives that are on a retreat. So at the time, and it was just really serendipitous, a friend of mine who owned a company called Creative Decorating and Decorating and Display was about to get married and start a family, and her company was for sale. And fortunately, she offered it to me first, and we purchased that company, and thus the combination of what was Encore Entertainment and Creative Decorating Display became Encore Creative. And they gave us the ability to not only provide entertainment, but provide complete solutions to our customers' event needs.
Yeah, that is a fortunate occurrence to be able to bring
timely.
In that.
It was timely.
So tell us about the guiding principle that you're using to lead Encore Creative, Jeff.
Well, Encore Creative, is obviously one company. We function as one company, although we did for a while try to keep them separate. But the guiding principle is the emphasis is on the creative, is what we talk about in management meetings and in staff meetings. certainly, in today's market and today's economy, you're mostly competitive if you are customer centric and if you focus on high touch, high quality products and high quality customer service. But for us to differentiate, we have to offer more service, a more wide array of services, and we have to do it in a more creative way, whether that's being creative with the actual products and services that we're offering or more creative on the budget side. But the emphasis is always on creativity and that driving our sales effort, our marketing efforts, and ultimately the end product for the customer. So we want them to view us as, the zany advertising marketing types that you would look for if you were mounting an ad campaign, but the equivalent on the event side.
Outstanding. Thank you for sharing that with me. I always enjoy asking our guests their guiding principle because I find, Jeff, many times it's a foundational view, and sometimes their guiding principles are probably most relevant during times when they are being challenged as the leader of an organization and they have to adhere to the guiding principle. It sort of ends up being a rudder for them through some difficult waters occasionally as they lead there and grow their companies.
Absolutely. I understand that, and I feel as if we, if we abandoned that and focused more on something else, just profit or just expanding profitability, which is every CEO's goal, that we would suffer and our business would suffer by virtue of not delivering what we or exceeding the expectations of our customers. So that guiding principle is always at the forefront.
I'd like to ask you if you could share with our audience, if you're comfortable doing it, a current challenge that's facing the business, but equally as important as the challenge, what ideas or actions you've taken or you're considering taking to attempt to mitigate the challenge?
Well, I'm sure as you and all of your listeners know, the way you started the show, the question of whether or not this is a blip on the radar, and in 32 years we've been through many business cycles, or whether this is the new normal, is severely challenging to us. We sell a luxury item. We sell a service that has been sort of castigated in the press going back to the beginning of the recession when, you know, companies were getting in trouble for their $400,000 spa days or golf packages or Las Vegas junkets. And that's our sweet spot. That's our customer. You know, are the biggest segment of the of industry in America that comprised our customer base were financial companies and automotive companies, and they're absent from the market. So that's certainly one of the biggest challenges, and I think dealing with that requires the challenge of not sacrificing quality, not sacrificing extremely high-touch service, but trying to do it with, some austerity program in place. We've had to, unfortunately, lay people off in the summertime when business is slow. That's challenging. We lose good people sometimes. Or we've had mandatory four-day work weeks instead of five-day work weeks. The biggest ultimate challenge for me is, and it's a timely question because our credit line is up for renewal. And, small company, even though we've been in business for 32 years and even though we, have a pretty respectable gross and we've been profitable every year even through the recession, banks are not, predisposed to lending. So even a line of credit that normally, smooths out our cash flow and gets us through the tough times and helps us buy an odd piece of equipment here and there, may or may not be there. So those are the challenges, and that's kind of how we're dealing with it. We're shopping our line of credit around, and we're looking for other resources and other ways of handling things. So a little bit of austerity, a little bit of competitive shopping, and again, if this is the new normal, it would probably require some more permanent changes, but right now we're assuming that it's gonna be a blip on the radar.
I appreciate your candor in the answer to that question. Really find it valuable because I look for teachable moments, and my experience has been that when we have guests on Critical Mass and Critical Mass Coast to Coast, the more transparent they are, for some reason it seems, the more the shows get listened to. I don't know why, and if there really is a causal connection there, I choose to believe that there is. And this recession has challenged many small and mid-market companies, and the line of credit is a critical component for how CEOs and founders and presidents run their business. It's and to have it to have that changed, or at least to be put under pressure, it can really affect your degrees of freedom and the kind of decisions that you can make to kind of grow your company and satisfy your customers.
Absolutely, and banks have they've gotten much more conservative. They've gotten much more finicky or picky, I don't know which is the right word. I think in a very unreasonable way. We do business with a very large money center bank. Our line of credit is not in the millions. It's a very small line of credit, but it does give us the flexibility that, that we need when, at certain times of the year. We have a seasonal business. We have a lot of employees. We have a big plant. And that line of credit does give me the ability to, move the pieces around on the board. And as they get, more and more demanding about, balance sheet items or cash flow or, profitability, fortunately, hasn't been a problem for us. But, just diving deeper and asking more questions and asking for more documentation, even on balance sheet items, makes it a challenge. And then there's the uncertainty factor. Is it going to get renewed or isn't it going to get renewed? And if it doesn't get renewed, then what? So it definitely is a big challenge, and I would imagine it is for people in, with even smaller companies than ours.
Yeah, and yours appears to be both somewhat labor intensive, but you also have a lot of suppliers that you have to pay, you know, when you're creating stages and lighting and tables, and there's just a lot of things that are outside of your, generally, you don't have them in your inventory, you've got to rely on other suppliers, and so cash flow becomes very critical.
I would imagine, it's pretty interesting because our customers are, you know, much larger companies than we are, and you know they, you know, it's pretty much their ball and their bat, and they kind of feel like they can set the rules. So I've seen and dealt with companies that have informed us up front that their payment terms are net 90. I think just because they can, and that's, you know, then you have to make quantitative decisions as to whether or not you want that business if you're not going to get paid for 90 days. But you're right. I mean, we do have some vendors, but we do a lot of work in-house. So we have, during season, we have a lot of employees, and we have 40 or 50,000 square feet of inventory. I don't know how many cubic feet that is, but it's pretty much packed to the rafters. And we do our own design and fabrication, but yeah, even raw material suppliers, people want to get paid, and they want to get paid timely. And it does create a lot of scary moments.
Yeah, a lot of maybe sleepless nights.
Some
on
occasion. Sleepless nights. I was just going to say that. Absolutely.
Jeff, final question. How would someone in our audience who's listening to this interview find out more about Encore Creative? What's your website?
Well, we have two. The first is obviously www.encorecreative.com. And believe it or not, we've expanded back into the social market, so there's actually an EncoreCreativeWeddings.com website as well. And our phone number is 480-736-2800. And that's the way you find us. There's a number of places on the website where you can request more information or ask to be contacted.
Well, Jeff, thanks for giving us candid answers to the questions that we ask you today here on Critical Mass Coast to Coast. I've enjoyed having you as my guest, and I wish you continued growth and success with Encore Creative.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks for the opportunity. I enjoyed it as well, and good luck with your show.
Okay, take care.
Take care.
Bye.
You are listening to Critical Mass Coast to Coast. This is the version of our program where we interview CEOs, entrepreneurs, business owners, presidents, executives from markets outside of Southern California. As a matter of fact, from cities around the country. And when we come back, we have our second guest, who is CEO of Virtual Health Check. And when I come back, Joe Scheringer will be my guest. We'll be back after this break.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Welcome back to this installment of Critical Mass Coast to Coast. As I said before the break, we have the pleasure of having Joe Scheringer of Virtual Health Check on the show. Joe, welcome to Critical Mass Coast to Coast.
Well, thank you very much.
We're going to be talking about innovation and what is innovation will make a significant difference. But before I ask you that question, tell me and our audience about your firm, Virtual Health Check.
Well, we're trying to do some innovation with healthcare. And if you think about the things that have been said and done with healthcare reform in the last few years, everybody has a lot to say about it, There's not been much done that's really innovative or really changes the way we do things so that we can change the cost trajectory in this country. So we're still spending a lot, not getting very much for what we spend.
And so what is it that your firm is doing to bend the trend?
What we're doing is a couple of things. First of all, Virtual Health Check will provide doctors and providers with the ability to check on patients between visits to the doctor, because when you think about people with diabetes and chronic diseases, all the mayhem occurs between visits to the doctor. So, for example, you have a diabetic patient who has high blood pressure, and all of a sudden they feel dizzy, and they end up in the emergency room, and $50,000 later, you know, we've taken care of that incident. The other thing we're doing is we're going to change the way we monitor patients. So we're actually going to team up with the University of Texas here, and we're going to have nursing students that talk to chronic patients every other week, because what we find is that these chronic patients don't pay any attention to their care plan, and that's how they get in trouble. So those are two innovations that we hope will save some money for the system.
Hold the horses, Joe. Did I hear you say that in many cases chronic patients aren't paying attention to their care plan?
They certainly don't. It's amazing, but and it's, well, I guess it's not so amazing when you think about diabetes. You don't necessarily feel bad if you're diabetic. You can go for years and not have an incident, and then all of a sudden you have a little black spot on your toe, and you go into the doctor, and oh my God, they're going to amputate my toes. And it's that kind of thing that patients do not pay attention.
I had a healthcare professional on our show yesterday talking about holistic approach to, you know, healthcare. So this, we're almost on the other end of the spectrum here, Joe, with people who know they may have a chronic condition but yet aren't. That's unfortunate, because in this day and age, at least my philosophy, the patient should be an active participant in their own management of their condition, you know, and be as informed and aware of their options and their condition as they can be, especially with the advances in technology and kind of information management that's out there.
Well, you would think so, but if you think about what really happens versus what you think should happen, what really happens is someone is diagnosed with diabetes, they're in shock, they're in disbelief, the doctor tells them, here, go do this, go, you know, stay on your diet, take these medicines, but after that there's no follow-up. So the patient's left on their own until something really bad happens, and then in this country we're very good at extraordinary medicine. And once something bad happens, we jump in and spend all sorts of money to solve the problem. But we don't spend any money on preventive care.
Hey, there's a saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, right?
Everybody says it, nobody believes it.
I can see now, as you're helping me to better understand your model, that your position in the marketplace could affect the trend, because you're right, the cost trajectory for healthcare costs in the United States are unsustainable. I almost hate to say that, unsustainable, because I've been, you know, you listen to any other news show and you hear so many things about, it feels like anymore, that have become unsustainable, whether it's the, you know, state's spending budget, the federal deficit, whatever it might be, it feels like in many areas we've positioned ourselves in to require some pretty significant changes. But this healthcare issue certainly has gotten much publicity over the past couple of years, certainly since the current administration, you know, came into office. How has that awareness or media attention or conversation affected or impacted you and your business and what you're trying to get accomplished?
Well, I think there's been a profound change, and that change is that the insurance payers, the people that pay the bills, the insurance companies, have changed their business models so that they have to pay more attention to healthy patients, healthy, keeping them out of the emergency room. Because this country is eventually going to move from what they call a fee-for-service to a capitated model where you, the insurance company, are paid a certain amount to manage a certain population, and if you mismanage that population, you go in the red. If you manage it well, you're green, you're profitable. So that's a big change. But the problem is, or the thing that I found, is that the insurance companies, like every industry, look at things out of their rearview mirror. So I kind of grew up in the computer industry, and I can remember way back when in the computer industry, somebody like, who was the guy, Ken Olson at Digital Equipment.
Right.
They said, well, these new PCs are play toys. They're not real computers. And, you know, Andy Grove and our friend Bill Gates took his world apart and completely, you know, destroyed that business model. And I think if you think about innovation in industries, the innovation never comes from within the industry. Because those people are like I said, they look at things through their rearview window. It's kind of the way we've always done things. We don't really want to do anything different because that's risky, and I'm not going to bet my job on it. So you always get innovation from outside the industry.
Well, Andy Grove, you mentioned him, you know, from Intel, wrote a book, Only the Paranoid Survive, and the premise of the book were examples and kind of admonishing CEOs and industries to pay attention outside the walls of their industry, because disruptive technologies, like you said, are born from entrepreneurs who are seeing the world in a different way and who don't have the vested financial interest in maintaining the status quo.
That's correct. And Andy was absolutely right.
You know, we sort of think about that here on Internet Radio. I've been doing it for 3 years here on octalkradio.net. And this is a disruptive technology that I'm not sure traditional terrestrial radio really understands what's happening here on the Internet with people having these types of conversations like we're doing today.
Yeah, I think, you know, you can apply those lessons. You know, it's not just healthcare; it's all over the map. And as a country, if you say, what's it going to take to succeed? If we don't innovate, we won't succeed.
And you know, kind of take us to how that innovation, from your perspective, as an entrepreneur now, using technology and using your experience base. Talk to me about the future. Where do you see virtual health check evolving to, and how do you see its impact on a wider scale over time, maybe through imitation or adoption or acquisition? How does that roll out for you as the CEO behind the company, Joe?
Well, what we're doing, and I think, you know, what anytime you want to innovate something, you have to have a model where you have data. So we're going to apply this model down in South Texas with a federally qualified clinic, and we're going to take some people who, like I said, are very risky patients who haven't paid attention to the doctor, and we're going to see if we can engage those patients by having frequent contact with those patients so that they understand their care plan and that they begin to engage that care plan. Now, if that works, that's very important, because the medical community is very frustrated with these patients that, like I said, don't pay attention. And that model we think will be much less expensive than the current models that are used in the insurance industry, because we'll be using student nurses in a scripted environment to contact patients and to do it frequently. So that's a new way of doing business that the insurance industry has never used. The other thing that's really important about this is that that model is scalable. We have 26 million diabetics in this country. We simply can't tie those patients to a nurse. There aren't enough nurses to go around. So, you know, like I said earlier, it's important to think outside the box and to apply lessons learned in other industries to the healthcare industry to automate that process so that you begin to bend that cost curve.
That is sort of an implied reality of changing the model of healthcare in this country to patient responsibility. Not unlike, maybe this isn't a good analogy, but it sort of feels like this to me, Joe. Set me straight if I'm off the rails. Not unlike what happened to people with pension, retirement plans, and over time we've moved to more of a self-controlled IRA, 401k program, where most of your retirement responsibility rests with the individual. It sort of sounds like maybe there's an analogy here for healthcare over time, where the outcome of your health is somewhat more dependent on your ability to be knowledgeable and take care of yourself, because the industry is expecting you to only be in crisis, you know, on those rare occasions, and not use the crisis as the controlling point to bring you back to a healthy state. Does that make sense, Joe?
I think it does. I think what you're saying is that the patient has to be engaged. Now, when you say that, you have to give the patient the tools to do that. You know, you just can't be a doctor giving directions without any support. You just can't have patient diabetes educators out there that hold classes once a month. There has to be some interpersonal contact with these patients so that they begin to understand and follow their plan. And once you do that, then good things will happen. Absent that, all sorts of bad stuff happens. And that's where we spend all our money.
Sorry, but you're using innovative technology and low-cost but yet skilled workers to increase the touch points and the personal attention, and thereby delivering a service in a way that heretofore has been too expensive or not realized that it would benefit the system. So I love to have entrepreneurs on the show, Joe, who not only have a solid vision for the business and see a market opportunity, but there are external trends that are kind of tailwind, if you will, to their business that they can ride a bit, because there are larger forces, larger companies, bigger institutions who are trying to move the population in that direction as well. And that certainly sounds like you've educated me to the point, as the interviewer here today, that may be happening for your firm in your industry.
I think it is. I think, you know, you always hope you have a tailwind. It's kind of hard. I'm a bicycle rider, and any time you have to ride into a headwind, that's that's going the hard way. But, boy, if we really have come to the point that we're going to bankrupt Medicare, and if you think about Medicare and if you think about what people are talking about, when they talk about saving money, they're talking about extending the age that you can take advantage of Medicare or cutting the benefits, but they really don't talk about the big pot of gold out there, which is better managing these chronic care patients and keep them out of the emergency room, you know, reduce the number of readmissions after a hospital stay. But if you're going to do those sort of things, you just have to think out, you know, you have to think differently. You just can't do the same thing over and over again. And it seems
that's
obvious.
That's the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over again.
It seems so obvious. But every single industry makes the same mistake. I'm a big Lou Gerstner fan, and Lou Gerstner saved IBM, and he didn't do it through technology. He did it by telling the executives at IBM that you have to go out and talk to customers. And if you're afraid to talk to customers, you're not going to be an IBMer. And it's the same thing in healthcare. We've got to start talking to these patients. We've got to start including these patients in the process so that they are engaged in the process and take responsibility for their own health. Doctors can't do this. Nurses right. can't do it.
Right. Well, Joe, if someone would like to learn more about Virtual Health Check, tell us your website and how they can find your company, please.
It's virtualhealthcheck.com, and you can get a hold of me on the website, or you can get a hold of me directly at Joe Seringer, S-E-R-I-N-G-E-R, at virtualhealthcheck.com.
I was excited to have the conversation relative to innovation with you, and it proved to be quite a learning experience for me. You've kind of awakened some awareness that I didn't have, and I'm sure that's happening across our listenership, both here live. It's happened to my producer. He's nodding his head and pointing at himself. So we know it's, you've affected two people today, and many more as we turn this into a podcast and people listen to it off of Apple, iTunes, etc. So, Joe, thanks for the time on Critical Mass Coast to Coast, and welcome to our business community.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day.
Bye now.
Bye.
All right. Well, we're going to take a short sponsorship message break, and when we come back, we have maybe one of the first here on this version of Critical Mass Coast to Coast. Been doing it since the first of the year, and now we have a chance to have Leon Singletary. You might remember him from First Contact HR, where he's president. But he's and he's still there, but he's going to come back today, and we're going to spend a little bit of time talking to him about his new line of business. It complements, you know, First Contact HR, and we're going to talk to him about My Part-Time Pro, and we're going to do that when we come back. But first, here's a word from a sponsor.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Welcome back to this installment of Critical Mass Coast to Coast. As I said, we have the pleasure of a returning guest, Leon Singletary. Leon, welcome back to Critical Mass Coast to Coast.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
So let's get right into it. Tell us about your new business venture.
Sure. Let me talk about myparttimepro.com. It's a internet site, one that essentially connects educated, accomplished professionals with meaningful, flexible employment opportunities. In other words, for those job seekers who are looking for temporary to permanent positions, virtual positions, project-based positions, part-time positions, freelance opportunities, this site gives them the opportunity to essentially connect with employers seeking to hire those type of individuals.
Okay, you're an entrepreneur and a successful one at that. What in the marketplace did you see, Leon, that said, hey, now's the time to launch this venture?
Great question. We launched in 2009, essentially, you know, during the most recent recession. The most recent recession, as you noticed, put a lot of individuals out of work, many of whom are still seeking employment. Many will not find the jobs that they left, you know, a year, 2 years ago, because those jobs don't exist any longer. And so we saw a trend, particularly as it relates to demographics. You have a number of baby boomers retiring from the big organizations, and many have financial responsibilities that, you know, they're not ready to retire because of those responsibilities. And they still want to stay active. They still want to utilize the skills that they have. And so the site tends to, the site was addressed, was put together to address those particular needs. Also, on the other end, you have the emerging professional, the individuals who are graduating from college, and because of because they've seen their parents, put a lot of time and effort over their lifetime with the major employers, and many of whom were laid off. You find a significant number of Gen Ys who do not want full-time employment with big organizations. They're looking at taking jobs on a freelance basis, taking their skills as marketing professionals, graphics professionals, IT professionals, and they are working for multiple employers, and sometimes they're working for themselves. And so we picked up on this trend and saw really a lot of value in creating this site to meet this need.
And so you're really appealing to job seekers who see this as a lifestyle and maybe have a different view of what a career is, a working career is. And it also sounds on the other side, you're attracting employers who are looking at a certain kind of workforce, as you said, I think earlier, educated and experienced individuals, people who can do the job but choose not to maybe be hired to do the job as in the traditional sense. How has the acceptance of the website and your business model been within the employer's side of this equation?
I think the way to answer that is that it is a growing need. It is something that not all employers see just yet in terms of the value or the trend. I think certain employers, for example, academic institutions, they've always enjoyed hiring adjunct professors and certain position types that this site can support. And so they use the site freely. There are other employers, for example, that have a need for interim attorneys, interim CEOs, interim COOs, and that is a trend that we need to continue to educate employers on so that they can take advantage of the job seekers in our database who would meet some of those jobs that are open and available.
I agree with you. The role of an interim executive, not at the C-suite, at the strategic level, has become. It's my understanding that in other countries, especially in Europe, the concept of an interim executive is much more defined and established. But I do see it growing in momentum here in the country, in the U.S. as well, partly because it appears to me that there's a recognized need to have work done, but there's not a guarantee that the project justifies a full-time employee long-term. And so they need a very high caliber level of person to perform the work, but maybe only for a very specific duration. And it would seem to me that a site like yours, myparttimepro.com, would be able to fulfill that need.
Absolutely, and it is a trend. It's something that will evolve over time. However, the market clearly is changing, and as you obviously noticed, that clearly there are organizations that. Are in turnaround situations, organizations that, have projects and have to meet a specific date or timeline, and the need for the staff, experienced staff, to meet the goal is not a long-term need. It's a very specific finite date that the work will be involved with, and the professional, if you will need to move on. And I think that clearly there is a market for for those kind of opportunities, both on the job seeker side as well as a vehicle which, you know, myparttimepro.com is designed to facilitate, a vehicle where an employer for a reduced cost can go to the site to locate that talent.
You're really making the transaction more efficient by virtue of your site, because you now are creating a marketplace, if you will, for connecting employers with job seekers. And it's interesting because it's really not employees, it's job seekers. It's people who are looking to fulfill a contract, not to get hired, right?
Absolutely. And the other side to it is that if this lifestyle is one that you prefer, the challenge for the job seeker oftentimes is that, you know, let's say the assignment is for 6 months. Well, the site allows for them, once the first contract or once the job comes to an end, it allows them to easily transfer their skills to the next opportunity, because the site is a viable site, one that, you know, employers can post other opportunities and those individuals know exactly where to go, versus starting from ground zero when, you know, the assignment they're currently on comes to an end.
It makes sense, because if as an employer you successfully find a job seeker who does a good job with the project or the task that you have or the assignment, why wouldn't you go back to the same place to fish for other job seekers when you have any? To me, it is this model. I'm excited by this because, again, as with the earlier guest today, there seem to be some trends larger than your business enterprise that will create positive, you know, tailwind. Mm-hmm. That you're not going fighting upstream. And technology is your friend, and anytime you can enable technology in your business model, my experience is it can, over time, continue to take cost out of your business model as you invest in the kind of the latest technology that's been proven.
Absolutely. No question about it.
Okay, so final question. Where do you see this evolving to? What is this an end state, mypartimepro.com, for you, Leon? Is it an entry now that you're going to expand in other areas? Or what have you learned in the couple years that you've had My Part-Time Pro up and running, and how do you see the future for it?
Great question. The way we view the site is the site, can function independently, and, our growth for the site is to expand it such that it is an effective model across the United States. It is kind of growing in recognition, and we see potential on an international basis as well. And so basically, we see the market and the site gravitating to the market as the market continues to recognize the need, and this particular division site belongs and currently a part of First Contact HR, which is an employment background screening organization, and we are able to integrate our services by providing value add to our client base, clients that currently utilize us for background screening at a, you know, significantly reduced price, able to offer the My Part-Time Pro site as a value add to those clients as well. So, from a future perspective, we see it just again continuing to grow both U.S. and internationally.
Yeah, I mean, no disrespect to your initial business, but I think this business opportunity, probably can scale more easily and also scale internationally more easily just by virtue of the business model. So that's great. Good job. Let's see if it happens now, Leon. Okay. Hey, I want to say it may be obvious because we've been saying the name of the website several times during your time here on Critical Mass Coast to Coast, but if someone would like to learn more about myparttimepro.com, how do they find you?
Yes. Well, the name clearly says it all. And, that's all they need to do is, type that in, go to the website. I recommend that any employers essentially register with the site, as well as job seekers, to make sure that they're set up. And what that does is allows them to receive regular communications on the trends as well as the job opportunities that are being posted regularly.
Yeah, the final thought on this, it sounds like, feels like, Leon, that you actually are creating a community portal here where people aren't just coming for a transaction, but by the very nature of the business model, it's one where they become part of the community that is both a job seeker or an employer, and they're coming back and staying engaged because the model requires them to continue to be looking for future job seekers or projects. So that's great.
Yep, no question about it.
Well, I appreciate you being willing to come back a second time here within a couple months and being our guest on Critical Mass Coast to Coast. I've enjoyed the conversation. You've taught me a little bit as well, and I'm sure many in our audience have learned as well, both hopefully here live or possibly in the future on a podcast. So, Leon, thanks for being our guest today on Critical Mass Coast to Coast.
Thank you, Rick. It's my pleasure. Anytime. You have a great show.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You do the same.
Bye. Wow, we've moved through three very different, but I think equally interesting business models and entrepreneurs and business leaders behind each of the companies. I hope today in this fast-paced version of Critical Mass Coast to Coast, you were able to digest the information and enjoy the three conversations. I thank you for being with us today. And if you're listening as a podcast in the future, do listen live on octalkradio.net during our broadcast time, which is 3 p.m. Thursday afternoons. If you're listening live, ooh, are you in luck? Because at the top of the hour, my business partner, Doug Gefeller, will be hosting his version of Critical Mass, and that is Critical Mass, the coaching perspective. Be sure to maybe step away, do what you need to do. Get a refreshment or whatever. Come back to wherever you are listening to this version of Critical Mass and stay tuned for Critical Mass, the coaching perspective, heard exclusively here on octalkradio.net. So this is Rick Franzi, host of Critical Mass, Coast to Coast, saying until the next time we talk, I hope all your decisions moves your business in a positive direction.
You've been listening to Critical Mass Coast to Coast, only on octalkradio.net.